Okay, this morning is the last session in our discussions about prayer. Today's title is Praying for the Miraculous. And just as a word of introduction, I just want to remind you that over the last seven sessions, we've talked about the intimacy of our conversation with God, and that is prayer. We've talked about why we should pray and how we should pray. We've talked about fasting. We've talked about praying together, what power there is in corporate prayer. We've talked about the ministry of being individual watchmen, and also that we are corporately a house of prayer. We've talked about praying with the Holy Spirit, and we've talked about bringing change through prayer. We looked at last week the way that Jesus prayed, and we discussed what we could learn from that. And today we're going to be talking very directly about praying for the miraculous. You understand that today we're not saying, well, possibly, maybe somebody, possibly somewhere in the world, may get an answer to prayer sort of today. We're talking about the miraculous. We're talking about healings. We're talking about the power of God to change our mortal bodies. And we're going to talk about how we can access that and how it can happen in our lives today. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Come on then. Come on. My first point today is kingdom come. Mary read out to us that wonderful passage in Revelation, where it talks about the people of God all being together in one place for all of eternity, worshipping the Father. Now, I have some questions for you this morning. Are you good at questions? Well, are you good at answers is probably the better. Can you tell me, are there any sick people in heaven?
No.
Are there any disabled people in heaven? There are plenty of people in heaven who have been disabled, but are no longer disabled. Are there any people in heaven depressed?
No.
Are there any people in heaven who are financially strapped?
No.
Are there any with chronic pain in heaven? Good, you're getting the rhythm now. It's good. The answer to all of those is no. Revelation 21 verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will exist no longer. How can you be afraid of dying if it doesn't exist? You know, right now, Jesus has won the victory over death and hell on the cross, rising from the tomb, proving once and for all that he is the resurrection and the life, and he comes to impart that to us. But there is a time coming when death won't even exist. Right now it exists, and we face it down with the cross. We stand against it. We resist death. But there will be a time when it no longer exists. Death will exist no longer. Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer. Now, occasionally, I wake up and I want a couple of paracetamol. Thank God for healing aids, as I call them. Thank God for paracetamol. But you know something? There will come a time when pain can no longer be remembered. None of us will be able to say, oh yeah, pain, I think I remember that. It'll be like a distant memory so far away we can't remember it, because it will not exist. There will not be such a thing as pain. I get quite excited about this. This is the heaven that we're talking about. This is the place where the kingdom of God is manifest. Do we live there now?
No.
You're right, the answer is always no to these questions. Some of you wobbled, but we don't actually live there. Theologians put it this way: the kingdom of God is not yet fully realized. We live in a phase of our existence where the kingdom of God has not fully come. Now, can anybody tell me a big clue in the Bible that we have that the kingdom of God has not yet come? What was the other one?
The Lord's Prayer.
The Lord's Prayer. That's the clue. Jesus said, when you pray, pray, your kingdom come. Jesus would not have told us to pray that if the kingdom of God was fully realized. The kingdom of God has not fully come. Everyone can be saved, but not everyone is. The devil still blinds the eyes of many, and it's up to us to pray for their release and to share Jesus with them and to help them walk towards the Lord. Many are healed. Jayam's been healed. Many are healed. But not everyone is. Many prayers are answered, but it would appear that not everyone is. Of course, for the believer, death has no sting. When we see people die around us, they are entering the perfect realized kingdom. But for us to see more of the miraculous, more divine healing, we must first pray the kingdom of God to where we are. We must pray in the kingdom. Our prayer must be, your kingdom come. When people get healed, when miracles happen, when people get delivered from spiritual oppression, this is the mark of the kingdom of God with us. How do we know that the kingdom of God has broken into our reality? Because our reality becomes like the reality of the kingdom of God, where there is no pain, there is no death, there is no sickness. That is the kingdom of God. And we pray for that, and when we see it, we know it is happening. Jesus put it this way. He said, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. How do you know the kingdom of God has come? Demons are flying out of people. People are being healed. Miracles are happening. This is the evidence of the kingdom of God encroaching into the kingdom of this world. Jesus, when he was sending out the 72 disciples, said, when you enter any town and they welcome you, eat the things set before you. I like this so far. I like being told to eat things that are set before me. I like to eat. But this is what Jesus says that we mustn't forget. He said, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Why did Jesus say, tell them the kingdom of God has come near you? Because that is what was happening. The healings that the disciples were doing, the demons that flew out when they spoke to them, were an evidence of the kingdom of God being there. The kingdom of God is not some fly-by-night fantasy that some Christians indulge themselves in. The kingdom of God is God's reality overpowering ours. Have you ever woken up and thought, God, when will this stop? I can't stand another day like this. Those are the days when you must pray, God, let your kingdom come into my life. Let your kingdom encroach into my reality. Let your reality become my reality. That is the kingdom of God. My second point this morning is greater things. Don't you just love it when you look on Google and you find somebody has already created the ideal slide for you? It's wonderful. What right then do we have to expect the miraculous around us? Listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 14. I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. Now, you didn't hear that wrong. Jesus said, the one who believes in him will also do what he's been doing. Healings, miracles, casting out demons, the kingdom of God coming into our reality. And then Jesus goes a step further. He says this, and he will do even greater works than these. Wow! Wow! Even greater works than Jesus. This sounds beyond belief. And yet Jesus says it, so it's true. Whatever you ask in my name, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is the reality of the kingdom of God in the church amongst the disciples. Put up your hand this morning if you're a disciple. Right, this applies to you then. This applies to you. Greater things will you do. You do. You. Yes, you. Greater things will you do. Greater in frequency. Greater in scope. Greater geographically. Who knows? Jesus never did anything in England. But we do. Jesus never did anything in America. Unless you're a Mormon. But the church does. The church is doing great things. Whatever you ask for in the name of Jesus. Some people say you shouldn't pray for the miraculous, but you should just get on and do it. But here Jesus clearly says that we should ask the Father in his name. How can you expect miracles if you're not praying for them? The kingdom coming should be part of our daily regime of prayer. The kingdom of God coming into our reality, healings, miracles, casting out of demons, breaking of spiritual oppression. It should all be part of our reality. So we must pray. Pray for miracles for people in the church. Pray for miracles for your friends, acquaintances, work colleagues, student colleagues, and for people you just met in Tesco's or Lidl. Other supermarkets are available. Praying for the kingdom of God to manifest in our current reality should be part of our rhythm of prayer, our regular regime of prayer. Point number three. Do you like that? Those of you that don't know, that's called a GIF. It says shake, it says earthquake and it shakes. And if you look at it too long, you might start to feel sick. So I'll try to get through this point quickly. If you start to feel sick, look at me. Oh no, that's probably not a good idea. The early believers prayed for boldness and for signs and wonders to accompany them. And Jerusalem was hit by an earthquake. Yeah. Acts chapter 4. For in fact, in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, assembled together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, consider their threats, and grant that your slaves may speak your message with complete boldness, while you stretch out your hand for healing, signs and wonders to be performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they had prayed, the place that they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak God's message with boldness. Why do we expect anything different? The Bible tells us this. This is what happens when you get together corporately and pray. We can turn to each other and look each other in the eye and say, did the earth move for you? We can, because God is with us. And when we pray for healings, for miracles, for signs and wonders to follow the preaching of the word, these people were going out there on the streets, they were talking about Jesus, and people were healed. Peter and John went to the front of the temple. And do you know what? We know that Jesus didn't heal everybody he saw, don't we? Well, you see, there are places in the Bible where it says, and as many as came to him were healed. But Jesus went to the temple a lot in that week before he died, didn't he? And that there was a man who was put out there every day at the beautiful gate who was crippled. Jesus didn't heal him because Peter and John did. The man had been sat there for years. Jesus did not heal that man. But almost to prove to them that what he had said was true, Jesus didn't heal that man. So Peter and John had got somebody to heal. If there had been nobody left sick, there could have been no more healings. Jesus left a few for the rest of us. Thank God for that. And this man was healed. And you look through this, and because they healed that man, because they brought healing to that man, they got arrested and slapped around a bit, and this prayer meeting took place. You know, let's not have these prayer meetings so rarely that we almost forget what they're for. This is how we should be praying. We should be praying until the earth shakes. Number four, not a gift. Acts chapter 5 verse 14, it says this, believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers. Crowds of both men and women. Don't you like that? Crowds. Have you had anybody saved at your church lately? Oh yes, we had one the other Sunday. Crowds. We had crowds. They had crowds. Crowds saved. How just do you disciple a crowd? You know, you can't get them all on the Alpha course. You know, the amount of food you need is a problem to start with. You know, we need to get ready for crowds. We all need to be ready to be disciplers, people who bring on other people. As a result, they would carry the sick out into the streets and lay them on beds and pallets so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. In addition, a multitude came together from the towns surrounding Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by evil spirits, and they were all healed. What a tremendous thing Peter's shadow was. Now, I ask you, don't be thinking about Peter Pan right now, but think about your shadow. What's the difference between your shadow and Peter's shadow? Absolutely nothing. It's bigger. Oh, Peter was a big man. Oh, the big fisherman. Oh, yeah, Mary's not so big. Peter was big. So Mary's saying that Peter's shadow was bigger. You know, your shadow is your influence on people. And you can exert influence just by walking past people. And the influence of Peter was such that as his shadow fell on people, they leapt to their feet healed. Their eyes were opened. They were instantly transformed as the kingdom of God impacted their lives powerfully, setting them free. And that was without the laying on of hands. It was without the anointing of oil. It was just with a bright light source behind him and his shadow falling on the sick. And it tells you here that actually they brought multitudes of sick people from all around. You know, it's a good job Peter's shadow did it, because he couldn't have laid hands on that many. We make it so specific sometimes, don't we? We lay hands on you, we anoint you with oil, and I'm going to carry on doing that. I'm not going to stop. But you know, actually, the kingdom of God can powerfully move. I've been in rooms where multiple numbers of people have been healed just while the preacher's been preaching. Not waiting for the appeal, not waiting for the altar call, not waiting to have hands laid on them. They have been remarkably and powerfully healed, just sat there. And this is our reality. This is the reality of the people of God. This is not just the reality of the kingdom in which we will live in eternally. It's our reality now if we will bring it. I've been reading through the life of David the last couple of weeks. And you know, there's this point, it says, let us be the first to bring back the king. And I was sat there thinking, yeah, Lord, let us be the first to bring back the king into the city, to bring back the power of God. You know, when does the king come? The king comes when you bring him. When does the kingdom come? When we bring the king. When the king is here, his kingdom is here. And we have to be the people that bring the king and the kingdom. And I want to encourage you today, you can do it. You can. It isn't up to your glorious and highly exalted pastor. It's up to you. You are the person. I'm sorry, wasn't I descriptive enough of myself? Should I have said glorious, wonderful? No. Very modest. Your modest pastor, that's right. Well done, Madhu, well done. You know, it's not up to me. You are the disciples. I'm a disciple with you. Together, we can bring the kingdom. Why should you be so damaged in your thinking that you imagine for 1 minute you can't do it? Yet the Bible says you can. You are that person. You are the one. You are the disciple. Do it. Do it for Jesus. Do it. Do it for the sake of those who are in pain. You know, I've been around a lot of people in pain in my life, and very often the relatives will say, I just wish I could take it off them and bear the pain for them. Jesus already did that. Why not just invite Jesus into the situation? Why sit there pondering, oh, if only one of us, oh, if only I could pay. Never mind that. Why not just bring the king in? Yeah. The kingdom will come, and that will set everyone free. We need to recognize our shadows have influence on people. That goes from when you walk down the street looking grumpy, you influence people to think all Christians are grumpy. When you walk down the street believing in the power of God, you influence people to experience it. Acts chapter 4 verse 7 says this. By what power or in what name have you done this? Then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing here before you, healthy. It happens in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to God. For it pleased God the Father to give Jesus the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. When we call out his name, we are calling out the name of the King. When we are calling out the name of the King, we are declaring the King's presence in his kingdom. We are calling out the kingdom to come amongst us. Let our praying be in the name of Jesus. We live in a society where you can talk about God as much as you like, as long as you don't talk about Jesus. Because God could be anything. You know, God could be a tree. And some people go and hug trees thinking they are God. God could be Buddha, but he isn't. God could be Muhammad, but he isn't. God could be lots of people, but he isn't. Jesus, however, is God. Jesus is God. Remember, whenever you read John's Gospel, that's the message of John's Gospel. Jesus is God. And it finishes with that wonderful example of that great believer, Thomas, who declares, Jesus, you are my Lord and you are my God. So completing John's story that begins with a creation narrative. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It begins with the Word Jesus being God, and it finishes with the name of Jesus being God. Jesus is God. In that name, there is healing. In that name, the kingdom comes. Because the ruler of the kingdom of God is Jesus. It isn't anybody else. There is no substitute. There is no other name given amongst men by which we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. It's all about Jesus. There is no other. When we call on his name, the kingdom comes. Do you believe this?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm going to test you in a minute and check that you do. There is power in the name of Jesus. Power to heal. Power to break every chain. Power to break every chain. So, we've been praying about prayer for weeks. Do you remember where this all started? I went to this conference where Dan Backens was speaking, and he said how in the last 15 months he'd had these three fantastic breakthroughs. One was he had been healed of cancer without any treatment. The cancer had come back. He'd had it previously. He'd had loads of treatment. It'd come back viciously, and the doctor, without even looking at him, just said to him, go home and sort your life out. You're about to die. And he had a breakdown, couldn't go to church for 8 weeks. After 8 weeks, he went to church, stood in front of the church and said, I'm sorry, people, I'm not going to be with you much longer. And then he said these words, but the church prayed. He went back to the doctor, and the doctor said to him, I don't know what's happened. You haven't got a trace of cancer in your body. He told about his daughter, who had been wayward for 10 years. She was funding her heroin habit by selling her body. His son was in church every week. His daughter hadn't even spoken to him for 2 years, and that was a brief conversation, but other than that, he hadn't known where she was living for a decade. So his wife said to him, look, you've had this healing from cancer. Tell the church. He didn't stand up in front of the church and say, will you pray for my wayward daughter? He'd never done that because he was embarrassed. He was ashamed. But that Sunday, he stood up and prayed. The Thursday, after the Sunday, his phone rang. Dad, will you come and get me? That was about 10 months ago. His daughter is now in church. She was bald when he picked her up. She's got lovely long hair now. She's working on the church team. What a tremendous change. She had a friend who she had sort of dossed with, the two of them in little drug dens and what have you, and she'd hung around with her for 10 years. And she said to her dad, Dad, what about my friend, Betty? And so he said to her, well, where is she? She said, I don't know. She could be anywhere. And so he said, well, you're asking me to help her. I can't help her unless I know where she is. And she said, look, Dad, you prayed to God. The church prayed to God. Do something about it. So he stood up on the Sunday morning and said, I'd like you to pray for Betty. And he described what he could about her. And at the end of the service, he called one of his associate pastors out. He said, come on, get in the car. You're driving me round. We're going to find her. They were in Virginia Beach, which is near Norfolk. That's it, Norfolk, Virginia. Norfolk's a city of about 200,000 people. And they set off, got on the ring road, were going round the ring road, and his pastor associate said to him, well, we're never going to find her on the ring road, Dan. So he said, well, we'll turn off here. So they turned off here. They followed this road. It led them into a built-up estate. And the pastor said to him, well, we're never going to find her just by driving around. We need to stop and ask someone. So he said to him, well, first person you see, stop and ask her. So first person they see, they drove up onto the edge of the road, and Dan winds down the window and says to this bloke who's outside with his head in the bonnet of his car, says to him, excuse me, do you know a girl called Betty? This guy sticks his head out the bonnet, clearly as drunk as a lord. And he says, yeah, she's in there. And so he said, no, he said, you misunderstand me. I'm looking for this girl. She's about so high. She's got black hair. Her name's Betty. And so he says, yeah, she's in there. And so he said, well, if she's in there, will you go and get her? So he comes out of the house carrying two big suitcases. And he says to him, what are those? He said, well, if you come to get her, you'll want her suitcases as well. So he said, well, where is she? Oh, she's coming. Out of the house walks Betty. City of 200,000, the first house, the first person he asks. That's a miracle. They were back home for 3 o'clock. You know, what? That's amazing. And I came away absolutely charged up. We also need to be, like this church, a house of prayer. We need to be a church where prayer is at our centre. You know, we've always had prayer at our centre. We've always felt that prayer was very important, but we need to ramp it up. It needs to be the very first thing we do. It needs to be our first reaction to any situation. Let's pray. Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Right, we'll sort this out. Lord, we'll pray. And we need to have a heart and attitude in us that says, yes, Lord, we believe your kingdom is coming. I've prayed for it, so it's coming. And that's the attitude we need to have in prayer. So this morning, we're going to see God move powerfully and mightily. I want us just to bow our heads for a couple of minutes. And what I want you to do is I want you just to pray, Lord, now would you just show me the needs that we need to pray for this morning? And it would be good if most of you could just say one thing, and we will pray over that. But if you have a definite need for yourself or your family, then I want you to come and stand out here. But I want you to come knowing that the kingdom of God will impact you. If you come and stand here this morning, it's going to be like you hitting a brick wall at 60 miles an hour, because the kingdom of God is going to hit you. And the kingdom of God is going to powerfully work in your circumstance. And you will know that God has healed you, set you free, delivered you financially, delivered you in whatever way you need, because I serve that God. I serve Jesus, and so do you. And Jesus is the King of the kingdom of God. And we're praying in his name so that the King will come with his kingdom to us. Do you believe that this morning? Yes. Well, I want us just to do that now. Father, we just pray right now as people come forward that you will lead us, you will guide us, you will bless us. We pray the power of God will come. Lord Jesus, in your name, we pray release. In your name, we pray release. Now, Lord, we just pray, kingdom of God, come. Kingdom of God, will you come? Kingdom of God, will you come? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.